I hope everyone is having and has had a meaningful and profound Tisha B'Av. I was interested in researching a Hasidic approach, a perspective on the 3 weeks, Bein HaMetzarim, on Megillas Eicha. And by the way, if you're interested, if you have a big blue chumashim, you could open up this Eicha in the back. I think also the Art Scroll has Eicha. What I was able to find after some amount of research, as you know, I'm very fond, just it's a new hobby of mine, of Likutei Halachos, which is written by Rabbi Nosson. And in this case, I found a long, long discussion about the 3 Seudos of Shabbos. And somewhere in that discussion, he introduces the 3 weeks of Bein HaMetzarim that start on the Shabbos after Shavuos B'Tammuz and end on Tisha B'Av. So the number 3 becomes very crucial here. And as I said, the 3 Seudos of Shabbos is sort of like the, we call it in Hebrew, the Keresh Kfitzah, you know, it's like the starting point for his discussion about the 3 weeks of Bein HaMetzarim. He sees a parallel between the 3 Shavuos, the 3 weeks of Bein HaMetzarim, and the 3 Eichas. Now, if you take a look at Megillas Eicha, you'll see that the first chapter begins with Eicha, Eicha Badad, Yashva Badad. The second chapter likewise begins with Eicha, Eicha Ya'iv Ba'apo. The third chapter is a separate sugya, almost. We don't know exactly why Yirmiyahu HaNavi wedged it in here to Megillas Eicha. But if you fast forward to the fourth chapter, then once again we begin with the word Eicha. Eicha Yu'am Zahav. And the third chapter spills into the fourth chapter spills into the fifth chapter, which is, in a sense, a petition to Almighty God to change the situation after the 3 Eichas. So we have the number 3 here, Megillas Eicha. And then, based on the Torah Rabbi Nachman, we have something called the Os Aleph. Now, in the study of the letters of the alphabet, the tzura, the shape of each letter, is very, very important. And I didn't do a good job here in making an aleph, but the aleph, if you take a look at any printed aleph, you'll see that there's a point on the top, there's a point on the bottom, and then there's a line in between. That line in between, which is a slanted line, looks like the letter vav, and it connects the what's called the nekuda elyona, the top point, with the nekuda tachtona, the bottom point. And Rabbi Nachman sees in this Aleph and its Tzura a profound message about the shape of the Aleph. Each one of these 3 parts of the Aleph metaphorically represents a different part of our Avodas Hashem. Also, the Segel, which is a vowel, is shaped with 2 dots and then a 3rd dot, like the number 3 dots. Now, in his discussion about the 3 weeks, about Bein HaMetzarim, about the failures of the people of Israel that led to the Churban, he discusses the number 3 in the context of the famous Chazal, which the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Melachim, that when we enter into the land of Israel as a nation, as a people, we're obligated in 3 mitzvahs. I should have asked you how many mitzvahs, and you would, of course, guess 3, because that's the name of the game today, the number 3. So let's just quickly review what these 3 mitzvahs are. The first is the destruction of Amalek. The second is to appoint a king, Minui Melech. And finally, the third is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Nachman sees in these 3 mitzvahs a parallel to the 3 parts of the letter Aleph. We'll go from bottom to up. The Nekuda Tachtona, the bottom point of the Aleph, represents the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Now, the reason for that will become clear, Mirzah Shem, as we go along, But suffice it to say that until you have the Nekuda Tachtona, the bottom Nekuda, you cannot climb up the Vav of the Aleph to reach the Nekuda Elyona. So the ultimate goal is to connect the Nekuda Elyona, the top Nekuda, which is on top of the Aleph, with the bottom Nekuda, via the Vav that connects them to the Vav, which is the main structure of the Aleph, is in a sense like a bridge or a ladder that you climb from the top of the ladder all the way down to the bottom. But we really start with the bottom and move up. Let's try to explain why that's so. The Nekuda Tachtona represents Yoshua, because the mitzvah, the first mitzvah that we're obligated in when we enter into the land, is to destroy Amalek. Who's going to destroy Amalek? Yoshua. Moshe appoints Yoshua, his Talmud, his disciple, to destroy Amalek. It's only Yoshua who can destroy Amalek.
Except he doesn't.
He doesn't succeed totally, but he definitely makes an impact and he weakens Amalek. Later on, we'll see again that the descendants of Rachel Imenu, through the generations, will be up front at destroying Amalek. Now, on the very top of the Aleph, which is called the Nekuda Elyona, we have Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Das. Das means ultimate knowledge of God. And Moshe Rabbeinu is in charge, his responsibility is to convey and transmit the knowledge of God. And his primary student is, of course, Yoshua. So the Nekuda Elyona, if you're following, is meant to have an impact, what's called the Shefa, and uplift the Nekuda Tachtona, which is Yoshua. But that has to take place through a process. Now, the process begins with Mechias HaMolek, which is Yoshua's responsibility. And when that goes well, that represents symbolically the protection of the Jewish people against their adversaries. Now, we're going to have to discuss for a minute what those adversaries are. I mean, Amalek is representative of Esav. Amalek is the descendant of Esav. And Esav is in confrontation with Yaakov. So that Yaakov is really the antagonist against Esav. And Chazal tell us that when Esav is up, Yaakov is down. When Yaakov is up, Esav is down. So that's the main confrontation. Yaakov represents Melech B'Yisrael, the king of Israel. Why is that so? The Torah speaks about Dorach Kochov MiYaakov. And that means that the Mashiach will come through Yaakov. The Mashiach is the ultimate Melech, who at the end of time, at the end of days, will destroy and vanquish Amalek totally. As Chaim pointed out, Yoshua was not totally successful. Later on, Shaul is not going to be totally successful. And even Mordechai is not going to be total success. But at the time of Mashiach, there will be total success. That represents Minui Melech. Minui Melech means appointing a king. And the king that's ultimately going to vanquish Amalek is going to come from Yaakov Avinu. And there are deeper meanings as to why Yaakov Avinu is singled out, but the Torah does single him out when it speaks about Mashiach. So now we have Moshe Rabbeinu up on top. He represents the concept of Das. You have Yoshua on the bottom, who is the ultimate Talmud, the ultimate disciple of Moshe. The process of destroying our enemies begins with Mechias Amalek, Amalek representing all of Esav. And who's going to be at the forefront to achieve this goal? It's Yoshua. Once that is achieved, then we're ready to appoint a Melech B'Yisrael. The Melech is represented by the Vav of the Aleph, and that's going to be the bridge that connects Yoshua, the Nekuda HaTachtona, the bottom Nekuda, with Moshe Rabbeinu on the top of the Nekuda. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Bechina of Migdash. And Migdash means Das. All of our understanding, all of our knowledge, all of our closeness, our relationship as a Jewish nation with the Shekhinah is through the Beis HaMikdash. That's Das, that's Chachmah, that's wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the teacher that, if successful, his ability to give that light to shine on his Talmidim through the Melech will be represented and manifested by the Beis HaMikdash. So given that sort of sketchy introduction, if you were able to follow, I have for you a photocopy of a page from the Likutei Halachos. This is in the second Chelek of Aruch Chaim, Hilchos Shabbos, and it's Perek Zayin. Now, Perek Zayin is a very long chapter. There are probably about 20 pages before what we started with here. So we're really jumping into the middle of a long, complicated discussion about Shabbos and about the three Sudos of Shabbos. Again, that's significant number three, in which the three Sudos correspond to those 3 points on the Aleph. And the Suda Rishona, which is called the Sudas Laila, which corresponds to Yoshua, because Yoshua is Laila. Why is Yoshua Laila? Why does Yoshua fight the battle against Amalek at night? So that has to do with the fact that Chazal created a relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe, and Yoshua, the Talmud, as a relationship between the sun and the moon. The light of the sun, which is the light of Moshe Rabbeinu, is very intense. And Yoshua can only receive that reflected light, which is called the light of the Levana. But, if you don't know this, this is very interesting. I got news for you. Everything depends upon the Levana, because Klal Yisrael, the people of Israel, are always compared to the Levana. However, we live in a period of Churban, and in that period, we are suffering from a phenomenon which is called Pegimas HaLevana. And the light of the moon, as it reflects the sunlight, is incomplete. It waxes, it wanes. And ultimately, in the end of days, the light of Yoshua, that means the light of the Levana of the moon, will shine very intensely. And that's going to be what we pray for. Amir Tzion will do it in about a half hour, or a little bit more. We'll pray for the Lamale Pegimas HaLevana, which represents Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael, in a sense, is represented by Yoshua. Now, what is this process of destroying Amalek? On the first level, Amalek is our adversary. They're trying to physically decimate us and destroy us in every generation. As we say in the Haggadah, Bechol Dar V'Dar Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. Amalek representing Esav is, when he's on top, we're on the bottom. He is our formidable enemy. And Chazal say, B'shosh HaMesachek Eslo, when God gives Amalek the right to reign, then we have to run away. We have to be fugitives. We cannot confront Amalek face to face. We don't have the wherewithal to do so. However, on an ongoing basis, we are constantly involved in a milchama against Amalek. Not a physical battle in the military campaign, but on a spiritual level, we are fighting against Amalek. And that's a twofold battle. Amalek, spiritually, represents two dimensions which are antithetical to the whole spirit of Yaakov Avinu, of Klal Yisrael. One is what we call kfira, the denial of God. And number two is the dedication to physical pleasures. A selfish, self-centered involvement in pleasure. And if chas v'shalom there's no God, so eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow the worms will crawl in and the worms will crawl out, which we know is true. That's the one thing that Amalek gets right. But Amalek is going to be the center of man's selfish desire for pleasure, for hedonistic, unbridled pleasure. That's all a person wants out of his life from an Amalek perspective, is to enjoy the pleasures of this world. In America, we speak about pursuit of happiness. One of the liberties that the Bill of Rights, you know, guarantees every American citizen. Yeah, but what does it mean, the pursuit of happiness? Does it mean the pursuit of pleasure, of unbridled pleasure? That's what we're seeing in the West today. No limits, always trying to discover new pleasures. This is all the influence of Esav, the influence of Esav as an Admoni. The Torah describes Esav as red. Red is the color that in the Bible and in the Talmud represents passion. And the Bali Kabbalah, I don't know, you'll have to ask the scientists about this, but they understand that the heart is made up of two chambers, basically. There's the right chamber and the left chamber. The right chamber is pulling towards Yaakov, towards spirituality, towards service of Hashem. The left chamber is where the blood is very, very heavy. And that represents Esav, that represents Amalek, that represents the unbridled desire for pleasure, for passion. So the evil inclination, which is embodied and manifest by Amalek, represents and expresses itself in two directions. Number one, in kfira, to deny God, chas v'shalom. And that means that everything that happens in this world is a matter of chance. There's nothing beyond. What you see is what you get. There's nothing concealed and below the surface. And number two, just enjoy life. Pursue all the pleasures. And Klal Yisrael are commanded in this first mitzvah. And Eretz Yisrael, as a precondition, requires this mitzvah to be fulfilled. And that's Mechiyas Amalek. To destroy Amalek. What does it mean to destroy Amalek? On a physical level, it's a material, it's a military campaign. We're not ready for that yet. That's going to be the job of Melech HaMashiach, to decimate Amalek. But in the meantime, we are in a different battle against Amalek. On a spiritual battlefield, on the level of overcoming those tremendous forces and powers and allurement of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination, of the blood that comes from the Tzad Smol, from the left side of the heart, that demands of us pleasure at any cost. Enjoy life. Morality, immorality, it's all irrelevant. And we have to fight that battle. And unfortunately, Amalek is on high. We have not succeeded in defeating Amalek. And this is what brings about Churban. The story of Churban HaBayis, of the destruction of the Mikdash, is all about our defeat by Amalek, our inability to be triumphant. Now the word triumphant, as I mentioned on Shabbos, is Nitzachon. We're talking not about the Nitzachon of Amalek over the Jewish people, which is a temporary Nitzachon and a limited physical one. We're talking about Nitzachon of Netzach. Nitzachon comes from the Shoresh of Netzach, which is the eternal, infinite defeat of Amalek. That's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael represents Yaakov defeating Esav on an absolute level. Le'olam v'ad, for all of eternity. And that's the true Nitzachon of Netzach. But we haven't gotten to that successful level. We are still subjugated by the allurement and the power of Amalek. And these are the sins throughout our history that have brought about the Churban HaBayis, the destruction of the Mikdash. We have not succeeded, neither on the level of Emunah, of faith. We do not have the absolute faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should have, an absolute faith that God will protect us, that God will help us conquer the land of Israel. As you know, the Meraglim, which is the story of Tisha B'Av, did not have that faith. And then Shavasa B'Tamuz, already at the beginning of the Dry Vachin, that begins with V'Dizahav, with the Chet HaEgel. So that the sum total of that picture is that this process of defeating Amalek has to begin with the Nekuda Tachtona, the bottom Nekuda, that which is represented by Yoshua. That's the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. and we have not succeeded. As a result, we get to the point where the ladder, as we spoke, the vav of the letter Aleph, is not capable of connecting the Nekuda Elyona, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Nekuda Tachtona of Yoshua. And Malchus B'Yisrael, the kingship of Israel, which is meant to give us not only security and peace in the physical world, but Malchus represents ultimate Malchus, the Malchus of David HaMelech, the Malchus of Mashiach, the Malchus of defeating Amalek, the Malchus which allow us to connect all the way up to the Nekuda HaElyona, so that Moshe Rabbeinu's Ha'ara, his tremendous light, the supernal energy of Moshe Rabbeinu, could be powerful enough to be transferred and transmitted through the Vav of the Aleph down to the Nekuda Tachtona, which is Yoshua. And you can take a look now at the text. We have about 10 minutes till Ma'ariv, which is Os Yudalit. Here, you may see page 60 on the top right of your page. And he says that there are three Shabbosim that comprise the Bein HaMetzorim, in which we mourn and grieve over the destruction of the Mikdash and the exile of the people from Eretz Yisrael. And these three Shabbosim, these 3 weeks, really represent, manifest the Malchus HaRashah, the kingship of Amalek and their dominion, their superior power, not only in physical, as we said, but in spiritual. And the purpose and the goal of our Avelus during these 3 weeks is to somehow rectify this pagam, this failure on our part, to have fulfilled these three mitzvahs. And these 3 weeks of Avelus correspond to Shalosh mitzvahs, the three mitzvahs, L'hachris Aro Shalom Molech, L'manos Melech, V'livnos Es Beis HaBechira. And he goes on to say that in our sins, we have not succeeded in doing the tikkun, which is called tshuva. And today, of course, is a day of Tainis. The Rambam opens up Hilchos Tainis, and he mandates that we're not just fasting on this day. That's secondary. That's not important. What's really important is that we understand the sins of our forefathers that brought about these terrible tragedies, and the fact that we continue in their ways. And therefore, the essence of a Yom Tainis, says the Rambam, is tshuva. And that's what this day is meant to be. It's meant to transform us and make us into better people, Balei Tshuva, so that we can succeed in fixing up these three pagamim, these three deficiencies. And we got to start, he says, in our Tshuva process, with the destruction of Amalek. V'lodai, it's not enough, shezochim lahachris zaro shalmon. Don't fool yourself into thinking that this is all the concept, the mitzvah, exhausts itself in the physical destruction of Amalek. But we have to be more careful and more concerned about zuamas Amalek. Zuamas Amalek means the spiritual contamination and the impact of Amalek as it gets powerful and more powerful and spreads throughout the world daily, from day to day. And he compares that, as we said earlier, to the dam in the left side of the heart. And Amalek is coming from Edom, the Admoni Kulo Kadereseyar, which is the red blood. Okay, there's a lot more here that we don't have time for. But he says the following, that Efshar, it's impossible, Lizkos, we cannot achieve our goal of reaching Kvod Hashem. Our purpose on this world, our agenda is to glorify Hashem, to bring out the glory of Hashem. The only way we can do so is Kiim Kishemachniyim Adam Shebechol Asmoli. That dam that represents all the passions that allure man, those selfish desires for hedonistic pleasure. That's what we have to define, that's what we have to subjugate, and that's the ikur, the main point in the process of tshuva. And here he introduces a concept which is very, very different, very unique. I come from a Litvish background, so this concept is very, very radical for me. What is tshuva? I can give you many answers to that question, having learned a little bit of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, but this would not be my first answer. And he says that the first essential element in tshuva is busha, humiliation. And I think he implies that if we don't experience this humiliation ourselves, if we don't bring it upon ourselves when we stand in the presence of Almighty, and we are humiliated by our own faults, our deficiencies, our sins, our iniquities, then it'll be brought upon us from the outside. And that will be the divine process to bring us to tshuva. And he describes it in very, how shall I say, poetic adjectives. Shesovlim, we suffer through the generations. And this is what kinnis is all about. Charefos, bizyonos. We are humiliated by our enemies. They make fun of us. They laugh at us. They throw it back in our face. You're the chosen people? Who are you trying to fool? And our adversaries even call us subhuman. And he says that all this is a result of the fact that Amalek is reigning supreme with tremendous power and dominion. And we are called upon to do tshuva. Because as a result of our sins, Amalek is so powerful and the Migdash is destroyed. The Alkane here on the bottom right, Misablim Shlosha Shvuos, Keneged Shalosh Nekudas Halal Shenifkmu Biavonosenu V'Ikar. And the worst deficiency that we're guilty of, and we haven't yet done tshuva, is the tikkun of the first nekuda, and that's the nekuda tachtona. And very quickly, because we have to daven soon, to take a look at Eicha, and you'll see that there are three Eichas. Each one of these three Eichas, that's chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, correspond to the 3 weeks of Bein HaMetzarim, and to the three mitzvos that we were obligated to fulfill and we failed to fulfill them. So Eicha Yashva Badad. Badad is the first. And that's the Bechinas Kina She'ein Anu Zolchim L'Hachri Zaro Shel Amalek. We have not succeeded. Because Amalek is Misgaber B'Taivos Shel Domim She'Bechalal HaSmoli. We are living selfish experiences. We care about our own pleasures, our own enjoyments. And as a result, Tzrichim Leishev Badad. And he quotes a pasuk in the third chapter of Eicha. If you want to open up to Per Gimel, pasuk Chav Ches. Yeshev Badad V'yido. And this experience of alienation, of the Jewish people living by themselves, as we would say, rejected by the nations of the world, all that is an expression of the fact that Amalek is still in charge. And their Malchus is the Malchus that controls the world. We have not yet succeeded in substituting and replacing their Malchus with Malchus Yisrael. And that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi means when he says, Ha'ir Abasi Om, what city is he referring to? Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is the Bira, Yerushalayim is the capital city. Yerushalayim is the seat of Malchus B'Yisrael. And our Malchus B'Yisrael is not supreme in a spiritual sense. And therefore, Yeshev Badad V'Yidom, the idea of V'Yidom is to accept the Charefos and the Bizyonos and the Shvichas Domim and all that has been divvied out and dished out to the people of Israel since the beginning of Churban. To receive that, to accept that, to declare that God is righteous, to accept with emunah, the faith, as a result of the fact that we don't have Malchus B'Yisrael and Yerushalayim is left without kingship. As a result, the vav of the aleph is missing, and there's no ability for the Nekud El Yonah, which means for Moshe Rabbeinu, to convey to his student Yoshua on the bottom in the Kuda Tachtona, the R, the light of Torah. And therefore, Nistalkov and Nisalma, Behelen Gadol. So we start with the first Eicha. And then in the rest, the balance of this presentation, the second Eicha is representative of the lack of a Migdash, that we weren't able to fulfill in our time the mitzvah of building the Migdash. And that represents the Pagam and the Nekud El Yona, which we said was Das, was Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what the Migdash represents. And as a result of our failure in the first Eicha, if we don't have a Yoshua, if we haven't destroyed and overcome the influences of Amalek, then we cannot reach and achieve the influence, the Shefa, of the Nekuda El Yona of Moshe Rabbeinu. And finally, in the last Eicha, we speak about the destruction of Malchus B'Yisrael. Those are the three Eichas that parallel the three mitzvos that we have not yet completed. Yiratzal may be his will, that we see speedily in our days. The achievement of tshuva, and that's what this day is all about. Tshuva on all these three levels. And then we'll see the ultimate chibur, the connection between the Nekuda Elyona and the Kuna Taltono, with the Piyas HaMashiach, Malchus B'Yisrael will be restored, b'mheirav yameinu, kein yiratzor.